Petri Dish is a product of Petri Dish Media, all rights reserved. Petri Dish is a science comedy podcast and should not be used as medical advice. Do not get medical advice from a podcast.
And therefore, as a free man, I take pride in the words, Ich bin ein.
Science! Science! Yes.
I know the human being and
science
can coexist peacefully.
This was our finest.
Hey guys, welcome to Petri Dish. I'm Nathan.
I'm Sean.
You want to hear the new impression I've been working on?
Yeah.
This is my lacrosse accent. Hey! Hey, give me that stick! Give me that, I'm gonna get that ball! You gotta give me that lacrosse stick. I'm gonna do that ball. You know, I'm like what? From the Northeast. You know, I'm like, give me that stick. That's like my impression of a lacrosse player. Give me that stick.
Interesting.
Yeah, give me that stick.
Yeah, I'm
gonna hit ball.
You're right that it is kind of amorphously Northeastern.
Hey.
Yeah.
That's my impression of a lacrosse player.
Because it's like, it's not really Bostonian.
Yeah.
It's not mid-Atlantic or anything like that.
Okay, right? That's not.
Not a New Yorker accent.
Starting to feel like this is not a compliment.
but it's also, it's not California.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of, it's got a little bit of that stink on there.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, well, anyway. Well, guys, thank you for joining us. Next week, we're going to talk about forest ecosystems.
Yeah, that was our episode on accents.
Okay, yeah, so welcome to Petri Dish. I'm Nathan.
We did that part, didn't we? Yep.
Okay, well, this week, guys, we're talking about beer part three. Beer! Right?
Yes, yes.
You've joined us already for the process of making beer, the nuances between different styles of beer, but now we're going to talk about beer, past, present, and future.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yes, indeed.
Foster's the whole way through.
Oh, you switched accents.
Yeah, I think people in Australia don't actually drink Foster's.
No, they hate Foster's.
Yeah, isn't that, it's just funny, right?
Yeah.
It's funny because you would hope that that would be the same with Coors and Bud. But it's not.
No, people are crushing Bud Lights.
People are crushing that.
People are slamming that shit.
It's 80 calories and a great beer?
Yeah, Foster's like, it's Australian for piss or
yeah.
something like that, right?
I think that's what it is. Anyway. So we're going to talk about the science that's kind of emerging around beer, kind of narrowing down on how we can use yeasts. And to kind of get into that, we're going to talk about the broader history of beer. What is our sexy relationship with yeast over historical time?
Yeah, you did a great job, actually.
Baby.
That was a really good job. All right, so without further ado, let's get into it.
Ow. So guys, I know this is a visual format. Hopefully we're going to change that soon with some Petri Dish streams. Petri streams on Twitch.
Yep.
But I want you guys to know that recently Sean dressed up as Johnny Depp in the Sauvage ads for beer.
Uh-huh.
You guys should watch those and then imagine Sean as that. He's dressed as a sriracha bottle today.
Yes.
I only say that. Sean's been looking real good recently. He's knocking out of the park with his outfits.
Well, the sriracha bottle one, we can post up a picture of that. The Sauvage Johnny Depp one, I think we're going to reserve a little bit.
You guys got to wait.
Until we're ready to drop that video.
We have a video coming.
And then we'll do a soft launch of the Sean Sauvage.
And that's going to hard launch all our listeners, you know?
Like,
We're going to blast off.
We're going to blast off.
A lot of tattoos.
But then we're also going to slip in a pic of Nathan.
Oh, yeah.
In full pervert mode.
That is a slippy one.
Yes.
And so it's a little wet.
I'm looking forward to that limp noodle.
Yeah. All right, guys. So let's get into a brief history of beer. Beer is one of those kind of cool Neolithic-y sort of things where it actually probably came up in a couple places or at some point in the last several thousand years, right?
Yeah. So I've read something interesting that was suggesting that maybe people actually began kind of domesticating grains specifically for beer.
Right.
That, like, you know, hunter-gatherer societies versus sedentary societies is maybe a dichotomy that doesn't really exist.
Right.
And that, like, a lot of people that were kind of in areas with plentiful wild grain
yeah.
were still able to use that grain for, like, flour and, like, to make, you know, different kinds of foods.
Yeah.
But that really, like, wanting to sit down and, like, get your grain right was, like, a beer thing.
Yeah.
Utterly believable, might I add.
That's like people applying common sense to prehistory.
Yes, exactly. You know?
But okay, so this is, we're talking Fertile Crescent-y Jordan, Israel. Although I'm also seeing the notes, Tibet, famously part of Iraq. Right.
Well, so there is this interesting thing where, so sometime around 8,000 BCE, people in the Jordan-Israel area of the world seem to have domesticated barley.
Yeah. Okay?
And that maybe it spread from there everywhere else.
Yeah.
Barley being the primary grain in our modern beer.
Right. Right?
But it kind of looks like some of the barley cultivars that exist in some places in Asia perhaps came from Tibet.
Right.
And either the domestication happened in Jordan, Israel, spread to Tibet, and then did a lot of extra domestication there in Tibet before spreading. Or it was a separate domestication thing.
Okay.
Which, again, totally possible.
Right.
Because people be loving grains.
Well, and I've been reading this kind of interesting book called The Dawn of Everything. In it, they talk about how there's some evidence to suggest a cosmopolitan Paleolithic culture.
Sure.
That people actually walked around a lot in our first 300,000 years and were hanging out all over kind of Eurasia and Africa. If that was the case, then you could imagine some group of bros walking over and are like, hey, bro, Tibet bro, there's this crazy thing I tried in Turkey, bro. This Turk bro, like, gave me some Well, they didn't call Turkey at the time because Turks hadn't invaded yet.
Sure.
Yeah.
But whatever, you get the idea.
Yeah. But, you know, so there's a lot of ways you could imagine this spreading, right?
Yeah.
Or having autonomous emergence.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure that people did grain swaps and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then maybe there's the thing where, like,
back at Reed College, a lot of people did grain swaps.
Oh, yeah.
They'd be like, here's my quinoa. You know, and they'd be like, well, here's a lentil.
Like after the Ren Fair or something like
that. Yeah.
So
yeah, it's usually a seed swap.
So
it's a dirty library.
Excellent. So either way, not long after 8,000 BCE, or perhaps around the same time as domestication, people were turning that stuff into beer to drink.
Makes sense.
Okay. So from around the time that we started having writing, like 3,000 BCE, we started having records of beer recipes.
Now, is this, we know lagers are pretty recent. But ales have been around for some time, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, are these, like, recognizable beers or ales? Or, like, are these totally different from what we have now?
Well, I would say that they maybe wouldn't be all that different from some of the farmhousey, saisonish, especially ales that have a lot of fruit added in.
Right, and
the
wilder the yeasts are.
Right.
But the big important thing is that, like, ales, by the time ales become ales as we know it, we start to narrow down on yeasts. Whereas back then, we hadn't narrowed down on yeasts, right?
Right. So we had a lot of wild yeast going on. Right. And then probably the beers were also kind of sour, I'm guessing, because in a lot of cases, they were just leaving it exposed to try to be able to get some kind of microorganisms in there to actually get things going.
Mm.
Early beer probably suffered from some drawbacks, right? For example, the yeast, ale yeast, Saccharomyces cerevisiae, it doesn't really like to naturally hang out on grains very much.
Right.
So just making a pure grain beer would not have really worked all that well.
Right. And you could imagine, it's hard to imagine that people just knew how to make a mash. Just like immediately.
Right. It probably took a little bit, especially in the form that we do it now, right?
Yeah.
With spreading a little bit of water on there, then drying, then doing the milling.
And if you've read the Old Testament, you know that like someone would develop a mash, Assyrians come, kill them all. Right? Someone else develops a mash, flood!
That's what most of the Old Testament's about.
We probably invented mash like fucking 27 times. Right? Just kept getting obliterated and genocided.
So, the malt mash work steps of beer brewing were something that got kind of figured out over a very long period of time before it really got kind of refined. But before that, people were probably adding in sugars.
Right.
Because part of the whole point of the malt mash wort is to turn the starches in barley into easier carbs.
Right. So let's throw in a little easier carbs just to get that shit kickstarted.
Right.
And happenstantially, there's some yeasts on there.
Right. So like fruit juice was really popular to add in at the early stages of beer making.
Yeah.
And you could get that from grape skins, for example, or grapes in general. And the skins of grapes have a lot of yeast.
I mean, it still is for some people. You know, I mean, it's not common in America, but wine is drunk in some parts of the world.
Oh,
you know, that's
I've heard about
juice.
Wine. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Did you learn that in Europe?
No, I learned it on Petri dish.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, right. We did an episode.
Yeah. There's a girl who came to the bar who was like, do you have apple cider? And I was like, get out! Get the f*** out.
But you know, that's another fruit juice that's fermented.
Yes, and apple ciders are actually very, very popular on the East Coast of America.
Right, much truer to the American tradition. Johnny Applecom, you know, like he planted the whole world with his seed and made hard ciders.
Yeah, fuck that guy though.
Yeah. Wait, what's wrong with Johnny Appleseed?
No, I like him. I'm just
kidding. Okay.
What has the woke left told you? Cancer culture. It's Johnny Appleseed.
But in any case, yeah. So fruit juice, also honey, dates were a really good source of both sweetness and yeast on the skin of dates.
Right.
And sometimes the yeast source could actually be from sourdough bread.
Right.
So you could actually use the grains to make a bread, right?
Okay.
And then you could tear up that bread into pieces and kind of dunk that in to help make beer.
The original French onion soup.
It gets kind of stinky. Yeah. So, you know, beer underwent a lot of changes through the years. And I mean, like, that's very clear from lagers on. But even from, like, 3000 BCE to 500 BCE.
Right, types of beer proliferate.
Right, and like if we just look at Babylon.
Yeah.
Right? They went from like 9 different classes of beer to like 70 different types of beer over that, you know, couple thousand year period.
Drive west from Narnak past Ur.
Oh, you're so clever.
Turn that lute and flute down.
Wow, Nathan, you're so learned.
Yeah, I know.
I like it when you use your learnedness and mix it with Steely Dan.
My Steely Dan and early Mesopotamia erudition.
That's beautiful. Yeah. For some reason, while we were eating all the potluck food today at work, we suddenly started discussing Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
I think one of the older people was like talking about how they went to a Hall & Oates concert once. Yeah. And then it was just like, it was just a mess. Because have you heard of this old band? It's like, oh man, what about Steely Dan?
I was about to say, did you Dan them, dude?
We had to do a little bit of that. We had to do a little bit. What's that Bright Eyes song? Who even did that Bright Eyes song?
Oh, that's a lot less old.
I know.
I'm Mr. Brett the Killers.
No. I'm talking about the Turn Around.
Oh, yeah. Eyes. Okay, yeah. I don't know who did that. But
every now and then I fall apart. Anyway. That's great.
You're not done.
I need you now tonight.
Nah.
Fucking need you more than ever. Yep,
yeah,
great.
Yeah. that's for the listeners. Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. There were a lot of different kinds of beer. There were even types of beer where you drink it through a straw.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which straws were invented a long time ago, apparently.
Yeah, pretty interesting. It's like because you just get a reed that like has a little bit of filtration in the middle naturally, or
right,
dry it,
because
right?
Some of the beers still had like hunks of plant debris and shit.
Yeah,
right?
They didn't like pulpy beer back then.
Well, yeah. Basically. Yeah, it's because sometimes the milling process didn't actually grind up the barley all that well, so you just have like hunks of shit and just like chaff in there.
It's kind of gross.
So you need a little bit of a straw to suck that down, right?
Yeah.
Grain didn't really get picked up in Northern Europe until about 4000 BCE.
Right.
And
still wet.
Well, so, yeah, probably. Yeah. But so in the, what do we say? The Levant? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think so.
So in the Levant, in the Fertile Crescent, it was dry enough that you could dry grain outside, right? You'd wet it a little bit to malt it, and then you'd dry it, right?
But yep, still wet. Right?
It's
wet.
Yeah, it's wet up there.
It's wet.
In Germany.
Yeah.
And so they actually had to use kilns or ovens to do the drying.
Right.
Right.
These fucking dumbass crackers couldn't figure that out until 4000, dude.
It took them a while. They didn't have fire until
200,000 years. They're like, oh God, I wish I would have dried my broccoli.
No one's ever said Europeans are smart.
Yeah, dude.
Is that okay to say? Are we going to get in trouble?
Nah, it's pretty smart crackers. I mean, like, between you and me, there's one half a smart crack.
Yeah, that's okay. I don't think they have podcasts in Europe yet, so that's true. We got.
Are we on Spotify?
We got another decade.
Is it Spotify like Swedish?
Don't worry about it. So, because air drying in Europe would typically result in mold growth on your brain, right? And that's no good. Right. But
I thought they loved mold up there. Put mold on anything, them stinky fucks.
Cheese episode.
It's a moldy fuck.
But there was a really big innovation that happened in beer in Europe.
Right.
And that was when hops were added.
Right.
And so
anything good that happened in Europe with alcohol came from monks first, right?
Yes, it was at the monastery Corbie.
Corbie.
And that was in 822 CE.
Right.
Okay. And early on, ale and beer were not necessarily the same drink.
Right.
Okay, especially, I mean, we're speaking English right now. Those words are English words, so... Just to be clear.
I don't know why that's so funny. It's just like there's somehow like a red pill scenario where it's like, all turns out we've been speaking Hungarian this whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wake up, everybody. Wake up, sheeple. This is English. And so early on, ale was a term for an English beer that didn't have hops.
Right.
And wasn't really all that attenuated, so it was pretty heavy and sweet.
Right.
Like it was like kind of thick and it was sweet. And beer was like, oh, fancy beer imported from the Dutch. Like,
right, right.
So it was like considered like an un-English drink that like you were a dick if you were drinking beer
for
a while. And so it actually took a long time, right? So they were adding hops in 822 CE, you know, continental style.
Yeah.
Right? But it took until 1493 before the first beer guild was kind of incorporated in England.
Commies.
And for still, like, 100 years after that, there was a lot of suspension. There's a lot of suspicion about this continental drink. I mixed suspicion and continental.
Yeah, suspicion took a long time to get over back then. You know what I mean? There wasn't really an empirical process to weed out suspicion.
Yeah, so, you know, from there on, there was a lot of refinements to beer brewing, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, lagers. Right.
Yeah. But we talked about a lot of those things. And then also, you know, I mean, hell, the industrial and scientific revolutions, microbiology, enzymology, all of those things have had really big impacts on beer brewing.
Yeah, the study of Ents. Z. hip-hop Ents.
Enzymology.
Hip-hop trees.
But with the field of genomics and synthetic biology ramping up in the past 40 years, we're bound to see a lot more changes to the beer brewing industry. Okay. And so that's what we're going to take a break now. Yeah. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about engineering yeast using all of our sexy genomic technology that we have going on now.
Enzymology could also be like an iced tea entomologist movie where he's like, he's like Bugs from the Hood. You know? And he's like, I study bugs. Are you telling me this bug?
yes. The confused iced tea, the incredulous iced tea.
Are you telling me this bug smells feet? Gets off on ponytails? All right, let's take a break.
The following is an actual advertisement.
I was always one of those curious kids. I had the chemistry set, a microscope, a telescope. I would take my toys apart to see how they worked. And now that I'm a grown-up, I still have that huge sense of curiosity. If you too are an adult who was a curious kid, then Curiosity Cake is made for you. I'm your host, Lee Delaney. Join me as I talk to the best minds from academia and elsewhere to bring you accessible and engaging conversations across a wide range of topics with no prior knowledge required. I'll be asking questions such as, can nuclear fusion become a viable source of sustainable, clean energy? Is it possible to create careers that fit our interests and personalities? And how can we know how to eat well with so much conflicting nutrition information? You can enjoy a slice of Curiosity Cake by subscribing on your favorite podcast app or via the website curiositycake.co.uk. All you need is a cup of tea and a fork.
Petri Dish is a product of Petri Dish Media, all rights reserved. Petri Dish is a science comedy podcast and should not be used as medical advice. Do not get medical advice from a podcast.
And therefore, as a free man, I take pride in the words, Ich bin ein...
Science! Science! Ha.
I know the human being and
science
can coexist peacefully.
This, without finding.
Hey guys, welcome to Petri Dish. I'm Nathan.
I'm Sean.
You want to hear the new impression I've been working on?
Yeah.
This is my lacrosse accent. Hey! Hey, give me that stick! Give me that, I'm gonna get that ball! You gotta give me that lacrosse stick. I'm gonna do that ball. You know, I'm like from the Northeast. You know, I'm like, give me that stick. That's like my impression of a lacrosse player. Give me that stick.
Interesting.
Yeah, give me that stick.
Yeah, I'm
gonna hit ball.
You're right that it is kind of amorphously Northeastern.
Hey,
Yeah.
That's my impression of a lacrosse player.
Because it's like, it's not really Bostonian.
Yeah.
It's not mid-Atlantic or anything like that.
Okay,
right?
That's not.
Not a New Yorker accent.
Starting to feel like it's not a compliment.
but it's also, it's not California.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of, it's got a little bit of that stink on there.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, well, anyway. Well, guys, thank you for joining us. Next week, we're going to talk about forest ecosystems.
Yeah, that was our episode on accents.
Okay, guys, so welcome to Petri Dish. I'm Nathan. We did that part, didn't we? Okay, well, this week, guys, we're talking about beer part 3. Beer! Right?
Yes, yes.
You've joined us already for the process of making beer, the nuances between different styles of beer, but now we're going to talk about beer, past, present, and future.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yes, indeed.
Foster's the whole way through.
Oh, you switched accents.
Yeah, I think people in Australia don't actually drink Foster's.
No, they hate Foster's.
Yeah, isn't that, it's just funny, right?
Yeah.
It's funny because you would hope that that would be the same with Coors and Bud. But it's not.
No, people are crushing Bud Lights.
People are crushing that.
People are slamming that shit.
It's 80 calories and a great beer?
Yeah, Foster's like, it's Australian for piss or
yeah.
something like that, right?
I think that's what it is. Anyway. So we're going to talk about the science that's kind of emerging around beer, kind of narrowing down on how we can use yeasts. And to kind of get into that, we're going to talk about the broader history of beer. What is our sexy relationship with yeast over historical time?
Yeah, you did a great job, actually.
Baby.
That was a really good job. Ooh. All right, so without further ado, let's get into it.
Ow. So guys, I know this is a visual format. Hopefully we're going to change that soon with some Petri Dish streams. Petri streams on Twitch.
Yep.
But I want you guys to know that recently Sean dressed up as Johnny Depp in the Sauvage ads for beer.
Uh-huh.
You guys should watch those and then imagine Sean as that. He's dressed as a sriracha bottle today.
Yes.
I only say that Sean's been looking real good recently. He's knocking it out of the park with his outfits.
Well, the sriracha bottle one, we can post up a picture of that. The Sauvage Johnny Depp one, I think we're going to reserve a little bit.
You guys got to wait.
Until we're ready to drop that video.
We have a video coming.
And then we'll do a soft launch of the Sean Sauvage.
And that's going to hard launch all our listeners, you know?
Like, yeah,
we're going to
blast off. We're going to blast off.
A lot of tattoos.
But then we're also going to slip in a pic of Nathan.
Yeah.
In full pervert mode.
That is a slippy one.
Yes. So
it's a little wet.
I'm looking forward to that limp noodle.
Yeah. All right, guys. So let's get into a brief history of beer. Beer is one of those kind of cool Neolithic-y sort of things where it actually probably came up in a couple places or at some point in the last several thousand years, right?
Yeah. So I've read something interesting that was suggesting that maybe people actually began kind of domesticating grains specifically for beer.
Right.
That, like, you know, hunter-gatherer societies versus sedentary societies is maybe a dichotomy that doesn't really exist.
Right.
And that, like, a lot of people that were kind of in areas with plentiful wild grain were still able to use that grain for, like, flour and, like, to make, you know, different kinds of foods.
Yeah.
But that really, like, wanting to sit down and, like, get your grain right was, like, a beer thing.
Yeah. Utterly believable, might I add. That's like people applying common sense to prehistory.
Yes, exactly. You know?
But okay, so this is, we're talking Fertile Crescent-y Jordan, Israel. Although I'm also seeing the notes, Tibet, famously part of Iraq. Right?
Well, so there is this interesting thing where, so sometime around 8,000 BCE, people in the Jordan-Israel area of the world seem to have domesticated barley.
Yeah.
Okay? And that maybe it spread from there everywhere else.
Yeah.
Barley being the primary grain in our modern beer.
Right.
But it kind of looks like some of the barley cultivars that exist in some places in Asia perhaps came from Tibet.
Right.
And either the domestication happened in Jordan, Israel, spread to Tibet, and then did a lot of extra domestication there in Tibet before spreading. Or it was a separate domestication thing.
Okay.
Which, again, totally possible.
Right.
Because people be loving grains.
Well, and I've been reading this kind of interesting book called The Dawn of Everything. In it, they talk about how there's some evidence to suggest a cosmopolitan Paleolithic culture.
Sure.
That people actually walked around a lot in our first 300,000 years and were hanging out all over kind of Eurasia and Africa. If that was the case, then you could imagine some group of bros walking over and are like, hey, bro, Tibet bro, there's this crazy thing I tried in Turkey, bro. This Turk bro, like, gave me some fuck. Well, they didn't call it Turkey at the time because Turks hadn't invaded yet.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But whatever, you get the idea.
Yeah. But, you know, so there's a lot of ways you could imagine this spreading, right? Or having autonomous emergence.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure that people did grain swaps and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then maybe there's the thing where, like,
back at Reed College, a lot of people did grain swaps.
Oh, yeah.
They'd be like, here's my quinoa. You know, and they'd be like, well, here's the lentil.
Like after the Ren Fair or something like
that. Yeah.
So
yeah, he was usually a seed swap.
So
it's a dirty library.
Excellent. So either way, not long after 8000 BCE,
yeah,
or perhaps around the same time as domestication, people were turning that stuff into beer to drink.
Makes sense.
Okay. So from around the time that we started having writing, like 3000 BCE, we started having records of beer recipes.
Now, was this, we know lagers are pretty recent. But ales have been around for some time, I guess. Yeah. Like, are these, like, recognizable beers or ales? Or, like, are these totally different from what we have now?
Well, I would say that they maybe wouldn't be all that different from some of the farmhousey,
right,
saisonish, especially ales that have a lot of fruit added in.
Right, and the
like
wilder
that
the yeasts are.
Right.
But the big important thing is that, like, ales, by the time ales become ales as we know it, we start to narrow down on yeasts. Whereas back then we hadn't narrowed down on yeasts, right?
Right. So we had a lot of wild yeast going on. Right. And then probably the beers were also kind of sour, I'm guessing, because in a lot of cases they were just leaving it exposed to try to be able to get some kind of microorganisms in there to actually get things going.
Mm.
Early beer probably suffered from some drawbacks, right? For example, the yeast, ale yeast, Saccharomyces cerevisiae, it doesn't really like to naturally hang out on grains very much.
Right.
So just making a pure grain beer would not have really worked all that well.
Right. And you could imagine, it's hard to imagine that people just knew how to make a mash. Just like immediately.
Right. It probably took a little bit, especially in the form that we do it now, right?
Yeah.
With spreading a little bit of water on there, then drying, then doing the milling.
And if you've read the Old Testament, you know that, like, someone would develop a mash, Assyrians come, kill them all. Right? Someone else develops a mash, flood!
Right? That's what most of the Old Testament's about.
We probably invented mash like fucking 27 times. Right? Just kept getting obliterated and genocided.
So, the malt mash wort steps of beer brewing were something that got kind of figured out over a very long period of time before it really got kind of refined. But before that, people were probably adding in sugars.
Right.
Right, because part of the whole point of the malt mash wort is to turn the starches in barley into easier carbs.
Right. So let's throw in a little easier carbs just to get that shit kickstarted.
Right.
And happenstantially, there's some yeasts on there.
Right. So, like, fruit juice was really popular to add in at the early stages of beer making.
Yeah.
And you could get that from grape skins, for example, or grapes in general. And the skins of grapes have a lot of yeast.
I mean, it still is for some people, you know. I mean, it's not common in America, but wine is drunk in some parts of the world.
Oh, you know, that's I've heard fruit about juice. Wine. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Did you learn that in Europe?
No, I learned it on Petri dish.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, right. We did an episode.
Yeah. There's a girl who came to the bar who was like, do you have apple cider? And I was like, get out! Get the fuck out! But you know, that's another fruit juice that's fermented.
Yes. And apple ciders are actually very, very popular on the East Coast of America.
Right. Much truer to the American tradition. Johnny Applecom, you know, like he planted the whole world with his seed and made hard ciders.
Yeah, fuck that guy though.
Yeah. Anyway. Wait, what's wrong with Johnny Appleseed?
No, I like him. I'm just
okay.
What has the woke left told you? Cancer culture gets Johnny Appleseed.
But in any case, so fruit juice, also honey, dates were a really good source of both sweetness and yeast on the skin of dates.
Right.
And sometimes the yeast source could actually be from sourdough bread.
Right.
So you could actually use the grains to make a bread, right?
Okay.
And then you could tear up that bread into pieces and kind of dunk that in to help make beer.
The original French onion soup.
It gets kind of stinky. Yeah. So, you know, beer underwent a lot of changes through the years. And I mean, like, that's very clear from lagers on. But even from, like, 3000 BCE to 500 BCE.
Right, types of beer proliferate.
Right, and like if we just look at Babylon, right, they went from like 9 different classes of beer to like 70 different types of beer over that, you know, couple thousand year period.
Drive west from Nardark past Earth.
Oh, you're so clever.
Turn that lute and flute down.
Wow, Nathan, you're so learned.
Yeah, I know.
I like it when you use your learnedness and mix it with Steely Dan.
My Steely Dan and early Mesopotamia erudition.
That's beautiful. Yeah. For some reason, while we were eating all the potluck food today at work, we suddenly started discussing Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
I think one of the older people was like talking about how they went to a Hall & Oates concert once. Yeah. And then it was just like, it was just a mess. Because it was like, have you heard of this old band? It's like, have you heard of this old band? It's like, oh man, what about Steely Dan?
I was about to say, did you Dan them, dude?
We had to do a little bit of that. We had to do a little bit. What's that Bright Eyes song? Who even did that Bright Eyes song?
Oh, that's a lot less old.
I know.
I missed it, Brad. The
Killers? No. I'm talking about the Turn Around.
Okay, yeah. I don't know who did that, but
every now and then I fall apart. Anyway.
You're not done.
I need you now tonight.
Nah.
Fucking need you more than ever. Yep,
yeah,
great.
Yeah. That's for the listeners. Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. There were a lot of different kinds of beer. There were even types of beer where you drink it through a straw.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which straws were invented a long time ago, apparently.
Yeah, pretty interesting. It's like because you just get a reed that like has a little bit of filtration in the middle naturally, or everything's dry.
Because some of the beers still had like hunks of plant debris and shit.
Yeah,
right?
They didn't like pulpy beer back then.
Basically. Yeah, it's because sometimes the milling process didn't actually grind up the barley all that well, so you just have like hunks of shit.
Sure.
And just like chaff in there.
It's kind of gross.
So you need a little bit of a straw to suck that down, right?
Yeah.
Grain didn't really get picked up in Northern Europe until about 4000 BCE.
Right.
And
still wet.
Well, so, yeah, probably. Yeah. But so in the, what do we say? The Levant? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think so.
So in the Levant, in the Fertile Crescent, it was dry enough that you could dry grain outside, right? You'd wet it a little bit to malt it, and then you'd dry it, right?
But yeah, it's still wet. Right? It's wet.
Yeah, it's wet up there.
It's wet.
In Germany. Yeah. And so they actually had to use kilns or ovens to do the drying.
Right.
Right?
These fucking dumbass crackers couldn't figure that out until 4,000, dude.
It took them a while. They didn't have fire until like
200,000 years. They're like, oh, God, I wish I had a way to dry my broccoli.
No one's ever said Europeans are smart.
Yeah, dude.
Is that okay to say? Are we going to get in trouble?
Nah, it's probably smart crackers. I mean, like, between you and me, there's one half a smart crack.
Yeah, that's okay. I don't think they have podcasts in Europe yet, so that's true. We got
are we on Spotify?
We got another decade.
Is it Spotify like Swedish?
Don't worry about it. So, because air drying in Europe would typically result in mold growth on your grain, right? And that's no good. Right. But
I thought they loved mold up there. Put mold on anything, them stinky fucks.
This isn't the cheese episode.
Ja de batia. It's a moldy fuck.
But there was a really big innovation that happened in beer in Europe.
Right.
And that was when hops were added.
Right.
And so
anything good that happened in Europe with alcohol came from monks first, right?
Yes, it was at the monastery Corbe.
Corbe.
And that was in 822 CE.
Right.
Okay. And early on, ale and beer were not necessarily the same drink.
Right.
Okay. Especially, I mean, we're speaking English right now. Those words are English words. So, just to be clear.
I don't know why that's so funny. It's just like there's somehow like a red pill scenario where it's like, turns out we've been speaking Hungarian this whole time.
Yeah. Wake up, everybody. Wake up, sheeple. This is English. And so early on, ale was a term for an English beer that didn't have hops.
Right.
And wasn't really all that attenuated, so it was pretty heavy and sweet.
Right.
Like, it was like kind of thick, and it was sweet. And beer was like, oh, fancy beer imported from the Dutch. Like,
right.
So it was like considered like an un-English drink that like you were a dick if you were drinking beer
for
a while. And so it actually took a long time, right? So they were adding hops in 822 CE, you know, continental style.
Yeah.
Right? But it took until 1493 before the first beer guild was kind of incorporated in England.
commies.
And for still, like, 100 years after that, there was a lot of suspension. There's a lot of suspicion about this continental drink. I mixed suspicion and continental.
Yeah, suspicion took a long time to get over back then. You know what I mean? There wasn't really an empirical process to weed out suspicion.
Yeah, so, you know, from there on, there was a lot of refinements to beer brewing, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, lagers. Right.
Yeah. But we talked about a lot of those things. And then also, you know, I mean, hell, the industrial and scientific revolutions, microbiology, enzymology, all of those things have had really big impacts on beer brewing.
Yeah, that's the study of Ents. Z. It's a hip hop
Ents-zymology.
Hip hop trees.
But with the field of genomics and synthetic biology ramping up in the past 40 years, we're bound to see a lot more changes to the beer brewing industry. Okay. And so that's what we're going to take a break now. Yeah. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about engineering yeast using all of our sexy genomic technology that we have going on now.
Entomology could also be like an iced tea entomologist movie where he's like Bugs from the Hood. You know? And he likes to, and he's like, I study bugs. Are you telling me this bug?
yes. The confused iced tea, the incredulous iced tea.
Are you telling me this bug smells feet? Gets off on ponytails? All right, let's take a break. Hey, was it on Rick and Morty? You remember the iced tea episode where he's like a shard of ice?
Yeah!
Was that actually iced tea or just someone doing an iced tea?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know if Ice-T would take kindly upon some of the lines. But at the same time, maybe he's got a good sense of humor.
Yeah, he's got it, right? He's Ice-T. I mean, he's got to look at those scripts for SVU and be like, I have a great sense of humor.
Oh, man, though. Ice-T being surprised about anything, I would watch that. Yeah, I totally really would. Totally. It'd be amazing.
Okay, so let's engineer yeast. Okay, so hippies, get out of this segment. We're gonna engineer your yeast.
Oh, yeah. I will mention that in most papers where they talk about engineering yeast for beer brewing purposes, they'll have some paragraph being like, we know people might not want to drink beer that's got engineered yeast or whatever.
Dude, I want that.
Yeah, which is like, go f*** yourself. Okay, give me that beer.
I'm about GMYs, baby.
I want it in my mouth. Anyway.
Science brew.
The thing about yeast is they are engineered all the time in labs.
Right.
Okay, and
yeast are very useful.
We've discussed this, I think, in our fungi episode, right? Yeah. Yeast are excellent model organisms for studying eukaryotes, and we've been genetically engineering them ever since we, like, basically started genetically engineering stuff. So, like, we've been working on them for a very long time. We've got a lot of tools and expertise for being able to fuck around with yeast.
It's kind of surprising we didn't just do a standalone yeast episode, you know, ranging from yeast infections all the way to, like, yeasts for foods.
Yeah, I mean, in the fungus
episode...
people
want a yeast infection episode. Wait, I thought you were going to stop me harder on when I said yeast infection.
Nah, that was okay. I wasn't that mad about it. Yeah. We were actually going to do a yeast infection episode.
Oh.
That's on the list episodes.
Oh, shit. One of these days. We keep on having new episode ideas.
We've been busy.
There's a lot of science.
Yeah, apparently.
Who knew, man? 2 years in.
Science keeps happening, apparently.
Science keeps happening.
I did think that we would run out of steam way earlier than now.
Yeah. Like, we ran out of listeners.
Oh, God. That one hurts a little bit. Anyway, so...
when you told me there are still some people who listen, I was like, that's good. I was like, I thought it was just like, fun time with Stacy, Nate, and Sean, you know?
Well, it is kind of that, but we've been coasting at like a pretty equal level for a while now.
Yeah. You'll never know.
Anyway. You stay listening. Okay. Since yeast are so important for beer brewing, there are several groups that have been trying different stuff to engineer yeast to do interesting things.
Yeah.
Okay. So, for example, one group performed what's called evolutionary engineering on lager yeast to try to find some that can metabolize maltotriose faster.
They put in frog DNA, and then the yeast, yeast came alive and turned to Forrest Whitaker and ate them all.
Well, yeast is already alive.
Yeah, that's
true. My only objection to what you just said.
Bigger. He's got big.
I only had one objection.
Yeah.
Okay. Maltotriose is one of the many, many fermentable sugars that are present in the wort.
Yeah.
Okay? It's often the second most abundant sugar.
Mm.
It's about 20% of the sugar. It's behind maltose at 60%.
Yeah.
And ahead of glucose, which is at 10%.
Okay.
Okay, so basically... you know, that's after the starches have been broken down, right? Maltotriose is a really common sugar that's in there, right? There's a lot of yeast strains that don't eat maltotriose at all.
Okay.
Okay, so there's a lot of that sugar that's just kind of getting wasted there.
Right, right.
Because none of the yeast are eating it. Typically, lager yeast get around to it eventually, okay? Mm-hmm. But only after they've eaten a lot of the other options.
So if we tweaked that yeast a little bit, we could eat that faster and actually get our lagers done faster.
Right, exactly. So basically, they grew some lager yeast, and then they put them into an environment where most of the food was maltotriose, reasoning that if a mutant yeast got really good at eating the maltotriose, it would start to outcompete the other yeast.
Nice. Right?
And so after 130 generations of yeast,
Jesus,
they started seeing improved kinetics for the maltotriose uptake by those yeast. And that was translated to lower leftover sugars in the beer that was brewed by the yeast. So it was kind of a drier beer.
Okay.
Faster. There's also groups that are working on engineering yeast to change the levels of oft flavors that can be produced, right? Because there's like lots of different weirdo flavors that can pop up.
Right.
You know, if you're doing the...
Don't we sometimes like weirdo flavors? I guess we're talking about like really weirdo flavors. Like it tastes like zinc or something, and you don't want that.
Yeah, or like sometimes beers can have like kind of a little bit of a sulfury kind of scent to it if it's been brewed a little wrong.
Don't like that.
Right, so you can get rid of some of those flavors.
Yeah. Has anyone ever made a durian beer? Because like Stacy's finally getting into beer. You know what I'm talking about? this hoe just like fucking cannot stop eating durian.
I think it's got to be guaranteed someone's made a durian beer, right?
Someone's whoopsied with like a barrel of durian sometime in Southeast Asia.
God, that's going to be stinky though. Yeah. Oh my God, that's going to be stinky.
Did I tell you that like I was working at Vinavolo one night and my coworker was like, hey, is something smells like trash, doesn't it? It's probably jet fuel. And Andre like comes out and he whiffs and he's like, that smells like durian. And then he tells me, and I walk over to where he is, and sure enough, bah, hits you like a wall, right? And I was like, oh my God, that's durian. So I walk out, and sure enough, dude, there's some crazy hoe who's just like eating a pack of expensive durian in the corner by herself. And I look at her, and she looks at me. Durian in a public place is like straight up illegal in some countries, right?
Yeah.
She's lucky Americans don't know what the fuck is happening. They just smell shit.
Yeah.
And I look at her, she looks at me, and I was like, is that durian? And she looks at me, and she nods her head. And I was like, okay. I walked back and I just let her think she had broken a rule.
Yeah.
Because I was so offended that someone would break open a durian in a fucking airport.
It's almost a hate crime.
It's cruel, dude.
And people know what they did. You know what I mean?
She fucking knew.
Yeah, you don't eat durian not knowing what it does to the environment.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like when someone turns on the whatever the beam lights are on their car.
Yeah,
the high beams. They're blinding everybody.
Right. Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed. But unlike with durian, like, you know, high beams sometimes you can accidentally turn on.
Yeah.
Durian.
You don't accidentally open durian in the airport.
You had to explicitly obtain durian and open it. You know what I mean? Like, that had to, like.
So fucking rude, dude. I couldn't believe it, man. I swear to God, she looked at me and she was like, are you telling the cops? She was like, busted. Okay. Well, anyway.
Yeah. But, you know, so yes, durian smell would be an off flavor in beer.
Yeah. An off flavor in my household, man.
So they're trying to engineer yeast to not do that.
Yeah.
Okay. But they're also trying to engineer some yeast to not produce ethanol, to make alcohol-free beer.
Oh.
Like the idea would be you'd still have a wort and the yeast would still use up those sugars, maybe make some carbonation, maybe make a lot of the other flavors in beer, but not the alcohol.
You know, if there was a beer, like a stout that tasted as good as a normal stout but was alcohol-free, I would totally drink it because I like the flavor of those things.
Right.
I'm like a reverse alcoholic.
Right, but you can't get that really, right? In a lot of cases, non-alcoholic beer are either brewed for a really short period of time to try to convert some of the sugars but not get very much alcohol and then you stop it, or you try to remove the alcohol some way after the brewing process is done. But
right now, alcohol-free beer sucks.
Yeah. Like, at the very least, they can't actually recapitulate what regular beer is.
They have to be different.
But this group, you know, they're trying to make these yeast so that they don't make the alcohol at all in the first place.
Okay.
But keep all of their other metabolic pathways to make all the other flavors.
I hope they're not branded too hipster too quick, because I don't want to be embarrassed to buy it. You know, like, I want to be able to just get some and not be judged by beer friends, you know?
Sure. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
What would make it okay for you to do it?
I mean, if it just looked exactly like an Allagash, but at the bottom in tiny print was like, no alcohol.
Yeah.
I would appreciate that.
Yeah. GMO alcohol free beer.
Yeah.
Just
tiniest print possible.
All right. I like that. So then we got this other group. Okay.
Nice.
They engineered Saccharomyces cerevisiae yeast to produce more terpenes, like linalool,
like,
and geraniol.
Right, we want to taste and smell more like weed.
Well, hops are related to weed, right? And so actually what we're trying to do is we're trying to get that hoppy flavor without adding hops.
Right, because hops are a bitch.
Yeah, so like hops are annoying to grow. And they can be pretty inconsistent in terms of their essential oil production.
Yeah.
Which sometimes they get around by, like, mixing batches of hops together.
Right.
Trying to, like, get
That's annoying. You'd prefer a consistent product.
Right. And so, you know, in this case, they shoved four genes into the yeast genome.
Yeah.
So that they had some of the enzymes required to make some of these terpenes. And they saw that when they made beer at kind of a scaled up size with this yeast, it tasted a little hoppy. There's a little bit of hoppy flavor.
You know, I think all these drunk nerds should really go in on it together and, like, really just embrace it. Their brand should just be called Science Beer.
I would drink Science Beer.
Yeah, and just be, like, forthright about it and be like, look, this is Science Beer. It's not smart beer. Okay, beer makes you dumber. What
are
you going to do?
Sure,
yeah. Okay? Yeah. It's Science Beer. This is made with modern scientific methods, baby.
Yeah.
No bullshit.
I would straight up drink that shit.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
Or the brand should be genetically modified beer.
I would drink that too.
It's just longer.
But some beer names are really fucking long. So I don't think that's that bad. Yeah, you know, one of the things I will say just about this specific yeast, they made two different terpenes. Hops obviously has a shitload of terpenes of many different kinds, not just linalool.
Yeah.
God, that's hard.
Linalool. Am I right?
And geraniol. Not just those two, right?
Yeah.
So this didn't have the full bouquet of flavors you get
when
you like actually hop a beer, but still, it was pretty cool that they managed to do this.
Linalool and geraniol sounds like if Maya Rudolph and Nick Kroll did like that Brooklyn routine that Nick Kroll does with John Mulaney.
Mm-hmm.
Like those would be their characters.
Yep.
Maya Rudolph would be linalool and he would be geraniol.
See, like you're not even... I put so much effort into saying that and you sound just as good.
You gotta little off. You gotta drunk tongue it.
Oh,
he's a drunk tongue. Yeah, you gotta... the word. Oh, cherry boy. Okay, well, that's the end of the episode, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's a lot of genetic engineering that is happening.
There's a lot of genetic engineering.
We talked about one, I think, last episode when we were talking about sours.
Yeah.
Where actually they're trying to find strains of yeast and then maybe genetically engineer them a little bit. So that they can not have any bacteria in the process of making sours.
Nice.
You'd basically just brew a beer like normal, except instead of just using one kind of yeast, you'd maybe use a combo of yeasts.
Mm.
But then at the end, your end product would be sour. It would have both lactic acid and acetic acid.
Well, let's go. Let's get out of here. We already know our beers now. We're done, baby. We're done with beer.
Yeah. So hopefully after listening to these past three episodes, now you're allowed to drink beer.
Yeah, that's true.
I think you've just earned your beer license.
That's true.
From the state of... Well, I mean, we're in
Kentucky.
California, but yeah.
Yeah. They have to, it's a constitution, all right, they gotta honor it. Every state. There's a, you think, what was I about to say about that? You know how Let's Go Brandon is like a secret term for QAnon stuff?
Apparently.
I feel like they should reduce it to just Let's Go. So just like, you wear a Let's Go hat, and everyone's like, oh, QAnon. And like, it's like how Apple now is like a proprietary thing. It's like, you can't type in Apple, and it's just apples. It's like a fucking company.
Yeah.
You should type in Let's Go, and it brings you up like QAnon stuff.
Yeah, that's gonna be, that's like... a combination of sad and genius because there's a Let's Go is a Pokemon brand of games.
Right.
Because there's like Let's Go Eevee and Let's Go Pikachu.
Nice.
And it's going to be a bummer if it's also like
Let's Go Eevee.
Yeah, exactly, storm the capital.
Exactly.
But now when kids are searching for Let's Go Eevee, it'll be like Let's Go Brandon, Let's Go Eevee, Let's Go Pikachu.
Fuck Joe Biden.
Yeah, exactly. That's a bummer, dude.
What are you going to do? Live in the darkest timeline.
Yeah, that's great. What did that have to do with what I was talking about?
Because I was just thinking, let's go, Sean. And instead, I just said, let's go.
That's great.
So I could then introduce this concept.
Okay. Well, everyone, thanks for sticking around for our three-parter on beer.
Nice.
Let's say thank you to Stacey Song, our sound lord and engineer.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian, for art. Thank you, Street Griff, for an undisclosed thing that we're going to release soon, guys. Anticipation.
Yeah, Courtney, Street Griff, Andy.
Yeah,
there was a lot of people involved.
A lot of collaborators. Mom.
Hopefully.
Lone the dog.
Hopefully we can get her in.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, okay. was Scout in the video?
I don't think so.
No, thank you, Mom.
I think she didn't sign that contract.
That's true. It's true.
Okay, we have an email address, petridishpod@gmail.com. We have a Twitter account, @dishpodcast. You can reach us at either one of those.
Nice.
You can also give us $1 a month or more patreon.com/petridish.
Christmas is coming.
You can get early episodes.
Santa baby, come down my sleigh. Chimney.
Okay.
That's you know, great. I was re-listening to that song, and it was a uniquely sexual version of that song, too. It was at the bar, and it was like, Santa baby, won't you come and fuck in my chimney?
Wow.
Yeah, and it was like, this song's crazy. This song is fucking bonkers.
It's definitely gotten a little bit crazier. I don't remember quite those lyrics.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, because every iteration, I feel like, because the first version I heard was like, Santa baby, won't you come and do my chimney? Yeah, right? And it's like, just kind of... It's not innocent, because it's, like, clearly about fucking.
Yeah, but, like, that was racy in the 1950s. Yeah.
But every new artist is, like, now just like, Santa baby, yeah, won't you come in my chimney tonight?
Yeah.
Anyone want to dance? It's just, like, really crazy.
Yeah, I like that last one. That was very sexy.
Yeah, dude. Put your lips together and blow.
We gotta end this podcast, because I'm getting a little verklempt over here. We gotta calm me down.
It's coming and going and going and coming. Always too soon.
All right. All right, well, we'll see you all next
Merry
time.
Merry Christmas, guys.
What?
Merry, have a good Thanksgiving coming up.
Sure, if you're American.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're something else, then you just
come to America.
Just keep being alive. How about that?
That's true.
That's a good one.
Keep keeping. All right, talk to you later.
Bye.